Praise the Lord.
Love Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, and welcome to the Healing School. I'm so happy that you've joined us. We were a minute or two behind schedule due to technical difficulties, but I am so glad that you are here. Jesus is Lord, and Satan is defeated. Hallelujah. We give God praise, glory, and honor, for he is good, and his mercy endures forever, forever, and ever. This is the Healing School with Dr. Valeria Avery. I am Dr. Valeria Avery, and I am so excited about being here. Again, we had some technical difficulty there and didn't get started right on time, but we're glad to be here. We're going to teach what the Word of God has to say about healing. We have been teaching along these lines for a few sessions, but we want to pause and pray. Father, we praise you and we honor you, God, for you alone are worthy. You are God all alone. You are God all by yourself. There is no God above you. Father, we thank you for your word. We exalt your word above all else. Your word is true, and every one of your righteous decrees endure forever. Thank you, Jesus. Now, we do bind the enemy from the word going forth or from the word being received. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Now, we want to get right into it. Our foundational scripture concerning healing comes from Isaiah 53:4-5, and then 1 Peter 2:24, and Proverbs 4:20-27. And I read, surely he has borne our grief, Isaiah 53:4-5, King James Version, and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. I want to read that in the Amplified Version because it amplifies it a little more. And it says, surely he has borne our grief, and in parentheses they have sicknesses, weaknesses, and distresses, and carried our sorrows and pains of punishment. Yet we ignorantly considered him stricken, smitten, and afflicted by God as if with leprosy. But he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our guilt and iniquities. The chastisement needful to obtain peace for us and well-being for us was upon him, upon Jesus. And with his stripes that wounded him, we are healed, made whole. Notice, not just healed, but we are healed and made whole. So many times people believe God for healing, but whatever the enemy stole during that attack on your body, Jesus purchased for you to be made whole. He purchased for you to walk in divine health, heal that sickness, but make your body whole. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For example, if you have been attacked with diabetes and your pancreas is not secreting the proper amount of insulin, which comes from the islets of Langerhans there in the pancreas, Jesus heals your body. But that pancreas is made whole. Your body is made whole. Hallelujah. You're whole in every area of your body. If you spend all your money towards doctors, not only is your body healed and made whole, your finances are made whole. See, Jesus didn't leave anything out that pertains to life and godliness. He purchased it for us. Hallelujah. I'm preaching on the verses, but I wanted to just point that out. Hallelujah. And then 1 Peter 2:24, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were, past tense, healed. In other words, God said it over in Isaiah, Old Testament. But then he, you know, there are so many people that say, well, that was the Old Testament. But he said it again. He reminded you in the New Testament. See, the Old Testament is really the New Testament revealed. And so he said it again. He didn't want you to miss it, because he said in 1 Peter 2:24, New Testament, who his own self, Jesus, bare our sins in his own body, hallelujah, on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. By whose stripes ye were healed. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Isn't that wonderful? That's good news. And then the third foundational scripture, Proverbs 4:20-27, my son, attend unto my words, incline thine ear to my sayings, let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they, what is he talking about? The word. He says, my son, attend unto my words, God's word about healing, God's word about the completed work of Jesus, God's word about how you and I have been redeemed from the curse. Hallelujah. Attend, pay attention. Meditate on them. Over in Joshua 1:8, it says, meditate the word day and night so that you can make your way prosperous and you can have good success. So meditate this word day and night, day and night, day and night. And then you will have what God has said about you, because you will manifest in your life what God has said about you day and night, day and night. let's finish reading Proverbs 4:20-27. My son, attend to my words. And he's given us instructions here. He's given us instructions of how to appropriate, how to reach in with that arm of faith and manifest your healing in your body today. Jesus hasn't changed. He went about healing, the teaching and preaching the gospel, and healing the sick. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's what he did. And so he hasn't changed. He's doing it today through his word. Jesus is the word made flesh. So anything that you apply this word to, hallelujah, healing is manifested. The word of God is manifested. Hallelujah. My son, attend to my word. Incline thine ear to my saying. Listen to it. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Read it. Hallelujah. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. How are you going to do it? By declaring what God says, by speaking it forth yourself. So you believe yourself. When you speak God's word out yourself, it's getting into your heart. Hallelujah. For they are alive. Hallelujah. To those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Notice it says their life to those that find them. Means that you got to go through this Bible. You got to read this Bible. You got to pay attention to what this Bible has to say about you and the completed work of Jesus. Hallelujah. Put them, put away from, let me back up to verse 23. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And so as you're keeping your heart with all diligence, you're speaking the word of God, you're hearing the word of God, you're confessing the word of God, and that's how you keep your heart, because whatever you put in your heart, that's what's going to come out when the enemy attacks. See, that's what's going to come out when the enemy attacks. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Put away from you a froward mouth. A froward mouth will say what the enemy has said. But a mouth that serves God says what God has said. Put away from you a froward mouth and perverse lips far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on. Let the eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet. Let all thy ways be established. Turn not from the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy feet from evil. These are instructions that God has given us in terms of obtaining our healing. And so we want to move on today because, see, it is God's will for you to be healed. It is God's will for you to walk in the divine help of God. It is God's will. So we want to look at some principles. We gave principles before, but we want to look at some principles that will help us to appropriate, that will help us to manifest us our healing, because God has given us a way to escape. Jesus paid the price through his death, burial, and resurrection for us to walk in the divine help of God. So let's look. Number one, the first principle that I want to give you today, and these principles not only will manifest healing in your body, but will get rid of doubt. These principles will get rid of fear. These principles will get rid of unbelief. And these principles will enable you to receive your miracle. If you embrace these words that I am about to share with you, then it will dispel all doubt. See, Abraham was fully persuaded that he could have a child at 100 years old. He was fully persuaded that Sarai, who had never bore children, could bear a child at almost 90 to 100 years old. That's when they had the child. And so, but these are things, these are some principles that you need to know. You need to know that God is. See, there are so many people believe that God is not anymore, or that God is dead, and then they come up with other gods. See, there's only one true and the living God. The Bible says over in John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God himself. John 1:1, hallelujah. We are excited. You know, the Bible makes it very clear. And then verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace. Now, we do know that Jesus, born of a Virgin Mary, with a pure heart, he didn't have a dead spirit like we did before we were born again. He had pure blood because he was fathered by God, the Holy Spirit. When Mary submitted to the word of God, when an angel told her she was going to bear a child, she said, how can this thing be? I know not a man. And he said that the Spirit of God will overshadow thee. And that pour into Mary. Jesus, hallelujah, the word, hallelujah. And see, the word became flesh. And dwelt among us. God poured himself into an earthen vessel. Hallelujah. He poured himself into an earthen vessel because he had to. There was no perfect man born after the fall of Adam. And so, therefore, the second Adam had to come forth. And God poured himself into that earthen vessel so that he could take on the sins of the world and he could get his man and his family back. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So you have to know that God is. John 1:1, we just got to the reading. In the beginning, hallelujah, before all times was the Word, Christ, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God himself. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's John 1:1. That's the first principle. You got to believe that God is. That God is. Hallelujah. And you got to, number two, the second principle, you got to know what God will do. You got to know what God will do, and you got to know what God has done. See, he has done. What has he done, and what will he do? Hallelujah. 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 Now, of course, we know that he sent his son. The scripture said in John 3:16, but God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son, that whosoever believed in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's the will of God for us to have everlasting life. Because that life in God is a life full of good things, full of being redeemed from the curse. See, the curse is out here in the world because Adam gave this world system over to Satan. And the Bible says he goes about seeking whom he may devour. But God, hallelujah, has made the way of escape through Jesus our Lord and Savior. And let's just look closely. I know we have read portions of this before, but let's look at what he did through Jesus. What life is to us as we receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior. And, of course, Jesus said over in John 14 that no man cometh unto the Father but by me. No man cometh unto the Father but by me is what Jesus said. And so what are we talking about? What kind of new life is this that we have in Jesus? Let's look at Romans 8. Now, I know we've been here before, but I want to go back. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Let's look. See when Adam fell, every man from that point was born with a dead spirit, disconnected from God. Hallelujah. Now, God didn't scratch his head, so he sent his when Moses came along, he sent the law. Of course, man couldn't follow the law, and the priest had to go in and atone for the sin, well, his own first, and then the sins of man. But that was not good enough. And so then, he sent Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And Jesus took upon him, we just read, surely he has borne our griefs, our sicknesses, our diseases. He took upon him all the sicknesses and the diseases and the ills of the world. Jesus took all of that. Jesus took all the abnormalities. He took all of that. He took all of the poverty. He took all of the grief. He took all of the evil that Satan has tried to put upon man in every area of our lives. But Jesus took all of it. Hallelujah. He redeemed us from the curse. Hallelujah. He redeemed us from. We are the redeemed of the Lord. He, Jesus on the tree, Galatians 3, 13 and 14 says, cursed everyone that hangeth upon the tree, that the blessings of Abraham might come on the Gentiles. Hallelujah. 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 Let's just look at that for just a minute, and then we'll come back over to Romans 8. But Galatians 3, 13 and 14 says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, curses everyone that hangeth on the tree, that the blessings of Abraham might come on the Gentiles. A blessing, blessing, not curse, through Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Hallelujah. And then verse 29 seals it, in that, if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We give God the praise. Hallelujah. Hold just a minute. There's a little technical difficulty here. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We're back. Glory to God. Now, hallelujah. So then, verse 29, and if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs to the promise. When you're born again, you're heirs to the to what God promised Abraham over in Deuteronomy 28, verses 1 through 14. Are the blessings of God. They are the blessings of God. And so God has blessed us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. First Deuteronomy chapter 28, 1 through 14 gives all of the blessings. And God has not changed. These blessings belong to us as received Jesus as our Lord and Savior. And so we're redeemed from all evil. All evil. All evil. So let's look. Let's go back to Romans 8 and look at what this new life looks like in Christ Jesus. And I'm reading Amplified Bible. And it says, therefore, there is now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now I'm going to read Amplified as we go on that with King James. And Amplified says, there is now no condemnation, no adjudging, guilt of wrong, for those who are in Christ Jesus, who live and walk not after the dictates of the flesh, but after the dictates of the Spirit. Hallelujah. 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 Notice, we have to live after and walk after the dictates of the Spirit in order to walk in those blessings that God has for us. For the law of the Spirit of life, which is in Christ Jesus, the law of the new, of our new being. Notice, when you are born again, and we said this in sessions past, when you are born again, you are literally a new being. Because the old dead spirit that was disconnected from God was buried. The Holy, when you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit of God comes on the inside of you, and he buries that old man. And he puts a new spirit in you, a new spirit connected to God. We are brought back into that position where Adam was before he sinned. Hallelujah. And we are to rule and reign just like he did prior to sin. God has made those provisions for us. But because there is an enemy who goes about seeking whom he may devour, if you don't know what God has done for you, if you don't read this Bible that is our guidebook for life, if you don't know, you won't walk in it because the enemy will tell you you don't have it. But see, you have to know what the word says so you can say, listen, devil, get out of my house, get out of my life, take your hands off of my children, take your hands off of my grandchildren. We will live and we will not die and we will declare the works of Almighty God. See, if you know that you have this because you are born again, if you know what the word says about you, you can submit to the word of God and resist the devil, and he will flee. He will flee. He has to flee. It's illegal for him to stay if you know who you are and if you declare who you are. If you declare the word of God, the enemy has to turn loose, and he has to get out of your life. Hallelujah. Let's read on. Hallelujah. For the law of the spirit of life, which is in Christ Jesus, the law of our new being, has freed me, hallelujah, from the law of sin and death. Has freed me from the law of sin and death, and has freed me from the curse. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. For God has done what the law could not do. See, during the time of Moses, because Jesus had not come, we did not have a perfect sacrifice there. God just had to atone. As Jesus was in the process of coming forth, you understand? So he had to do something to help man out. And so he gave the law, which man couldn't keep. So they had to, each year had to go and atone the people from their sin. Hallelujah. And even the priest had to go and make his atonement before he could minister to the people. And so here we are. Now, it says, for God has done what the law could not do, its power being weakened by the flesh. Man couldn't do it on his own. Entire nature of man without the Holy Spirit, see, sending his own son in the guise of sinful flesh and as an offering for sin, God Almighty, maker of the heavens and the earth, hallelujah, condemned sin in the flesh. Listen, he condemned sin in the flesh. He redeemed us from the curse. He condemned sin in the flesh. In parentheses, this amplified. He subdued. He overcame. He deprived sin power over all who accept the sacrifice. This is what God did in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, through his death, burial, and resurrection. He condemned sin in the flesh for those of us who would accept the sacrifice. That's why Jesus is the only way to God. It's written. It is written. It says, God condemned sin in the flesh. He subdued sin. He overcame sin. He deprived it of its power over all of us who accept that sacrifice, all of us who accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior. God condemned sin in our flesh. He deprived sin, hallelujah, from its power over us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That means that sickness and disease have no power, no place in our body. But we got to know this. So I submit to the true and the living God. I submit to the Spirit of the living God. I submit to the completed work of Jesus. Jesus redeemed me. He took on sickness and disease. So therefore, I reject it from my body. I reject it from my children's body and my grandchildren's body. Sin and sickness has no place over me or my children in Jesus' name. No place. No place. No place. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Let's read on. So that the righteousness and just requirement of the law might be fully met in us who live and move not in the ways of the flesh, so that the righteous and just requirement of the law might be fully met in us who live and move not in the ways of the flesh, but in the ways of the Spirit. Our lives govern not by the standards and according to the dictates of the flesh, but controlled by the Holy Spirit. See, when you receive Jesus and that old man is buried with Jesus and you are raised to newness of life with a new spirit that the Holy Spirit puts on the inside of you, then you can walk in this newness of life, controlled by the Spirit of God. One confession that I make every morning, Father, I submit to the ministry of the Holy Spirit, to think through my mind, to speak through my lips, to flow through my limbs, working in me and through me and for me and on my behalf to minister to others, God. That's my heart's desire. But we have to submit to the ministry of the Holy Spirit. He's not going to hit us over the head. He is sent. We read this in times past, and let's just flip over that. We'll come back, hold your finger in Romans 8, and then we're going to flip to John, the Gospel of John, chapter 14, because this is where it talks about the Holy Spirit. Jesus said that he was going to send another comforter. And I will pray the Father, this is John 14, verse 16, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. And then down in verse 26, and I'm going to read Amplified, but the comforter, the counselor, the helper, the intercessor, the advocate, the strengthener, the standby. I don't know about you, but I need him to be all of that to me. Hallelujah. My helper. That word counter means paraclete, means one called alongside to help. See, Jesus said, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I will send this. He says, it is expedient that I go away. See, he had to go away because Jesus couldn't be in every place at one time. But the Holy Spirit of the living God can be in every place at one time. He can minister to me and you and others at the same time, at the point of our need. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It says, the Holy Spirit whom the Father will send in my name, I'm reading Amplified, in my place, Jesus said, to represent me, Jesus said, and act on my behalf. See, Jesus was there for those disciples when he walked the earth. And whatever their needs were, he met them by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so he said, I will send, you know, the Holy Spirit. And he will, in my place, Jesus said, to represent me and act on my behalf. He will teach you all things, and he will cause you to recall, will remind you of, will bring to your remembrance everything I have told you. Hallelujah. See, Jesus loves us. He loves us. Chapter 16 of the Gospel of John, verse 13 says, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, the Spirit of truth is another name for the Holy Spirit, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Let's read that also in the Amplified. It says, but when he, Spirit of truth, the truth-giving Spirit, come, he will guide you into all the truth, the whole, full truth, for he will not speak his own message. See, the Holy Spirit doesn't speak his own message on his own authority, but he will tell you whatever he hears from the Father. Listen, Jesus said when he walked the earth, I don't do anything but what I see my Father do. I don't say anything but what I hear my Father say. So God, operating through Jesus, Jesus was showed us the Father. He demonstrated the Father because he said, I only do what I see my Father do, and I only say what I hear my Father say. Here, the Holy Spirit will do the same thing. He says, right here, the truth-giving Spirit. When he comes, he will guide you into all truth, the whole, the full truth, but he will not speak his own message on his own authority, but he will tell you what he hears from the Father. How many of us need to know something about some area of our lives that we are unsure of? Well, you need to tune in to the Holy Spirit, who will get from God. He knows the end from the beginning. He knows where you need to be, what you need to be doing, when you need to do it. He knows what the end result is. And he has given us instructions. He's given us his word. Hallelujah. He's given us the victory already. Jesus already defeated Satan. Hallelujah. And when you receive Jesus, you are back in connection with God, and you are to rule and reign from that heavenly seat, because the Bible says we are in Christ. We're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. And we're to operate from that seat on this earth. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. So the Holy Spirit is going to tell whatever he hears from the Father. He will give you the message that has been given him, and he will announce and declare to you the things that are to come that will happen in the future. And so, you know, God will never leave us wandering around and confused, because he has sent the Holy Spirit. And you want to tune in to the Spirit. You want to submit to his ministry, and then he will alert you. He will tell you. Oftentimes it's that still small voice on the inside. Those of us who, when we didn't know any better, we'd say something told us. Well, see, it's not a something. It's another being, the third person from the Godhead, the Holy Spirit of the living God. He is a person. He's in the person of the Holy Spirit. He is sent to help us. He's our helper. He is on the inside of us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for your help. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Now, let's read again. So that the righteous, we're still in Romans 8, verse 4, so that the righteous and the just requirement of the law might be fully met in us who live and move not in the ways of the flesh, but in the way of the Spirit. Our lives govern not by the standards and according to the dictates of the flesh, but controlled by the Holy Spirit. We have to submit to that control. I submit to it. He knows the end from the beginning. He knows what we need to do, when we need to do, and how we need to do it. Hallelujah. He knows the best. See, the Bible tells us over in Ephesians 2 and 10, Amplified Version, says he has prepared paths for us to walk in. Now, of course, we are creatures of choice. God made us that way, We have to choose to follow him. We have to choose to walk in that path. See, some of us get so headstrong. See, we know it all, and we run off without the Holy Spirit direction and go down a path that God has not planned for us to go down. See, God leads us in paths of righteousness, to green pastures, to the good life. The Bible says God has preordained paths for us to walk in to the good life. There are paths. See, God knows, and we should know according to the word, the enemy goes about seeking whom he may devour. But if we take the path that God has ordained for us to take, then that path will lead us to the good life. That path won't lead us to a ditch to fall in, like the enemy would take us down paths for us to fall in the ditch. But he leads us in paths to the good life. That's an amplified version of Ephesians 2 and verse 10. So here in Romans 8, 4, it says, but we are to be controlled by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Verse 5, for those who are according to the flesh and are controlled by it, its unholy desires, set their minds on and pursue those things which gratify the flesh. But those who are according to the Spirit are controlled by the desires of the Spirit. By the desires of the Spirit, set their minds on and seek those things which gratify the Holy Spirit. See, hallelujah. Glory to God. We have to pay attention to what the Word has to say. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's powerful. That is powerful. That is powerful. We've got to stay tuned in to the Holy Spirit and put our mind on the things. You stay tuned to the Holy Spirit by praying in the Spirit. Now, of course, that's a separate experience. We've talked about that from being saved. Hallelujah. The Spirit of God does come on the inside of us when you are saved, and he creates within you a new spirit. But there is an additional experience, and that is being filled with the Holy Spirit, endued with the power of God to go forth as a witness of God. When you are endued with power by the Holy Spirit, he does give you a prayer language, praying in the Holy Ghost. See, when you don't know what to pray, a lot of times, We don't know what to pray for, but we know we need to pray. And so praying in the Spirit, in that the prayer language that the Holy Spirit gives you, allows you to pray. The Bible says a perfect prayer, speaking directly to God, hallelujah, without your intellect, hallelujah, praying that perfect prayer to God, hallelujah, allowing the Spirit of God to pray through you, because he knows. He knows the end from the beginning. God knows the end from the beginning. And so therefore, we want to submit to the Holy Spirit and seek those things that gratify him. What's going to gratify him? The Word of God. The Word of God, and declaring what the Word of God has to say. Thank you, Jesus. Now, verse 6, now the mind of the flesh, which is sent and reason without the Holy Spirit. See, when you try to reason things, see, you can't reason. The five senses really will distract you from what God has said. God said, by due strife you were healed. See, your feelings, what you feel, what you heard the doctor say, that's a lie from the pit of hell. Because God says you're healed. God says you're restored. God says you're free of abnormality. He says you are free from those things. Jesus took those things upon himself, and he has given you abundant life, free of sickness and disease, free of abnormality. Hallelujah. You got to get that, because if you can get that, and no matter how you feel or look or what you have heard, if you will choose to believe God's word, if you'll choose to say what God has said, then you'll have what God has said about you. You will dispel the doubt and unbelief. You will dispel the evil report that the doctor has given you. You'll dispel it because you are declaring what God has said about you and your children and your children's children. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Isn't that good news? This is what you call good news. I'm teaching you what this new life in Christ has done for us. He has healed your body. See, I'm going through this in healing school because, see, this is foundation. This is what is teaching you why you can stand up and say, devil, I don't receive that disease. Or I don't receive that about my children. I receive what God says about it. You understand? You have to stand up and boldly declare what God has said in the face of what the doctor has said. Doctor, you know, I know you're doing your work, but I choose to believe God's report. God's report says I'm healed. God's report says I'm delivered from abnormalities. God's word says that Jesus took those things. So therefore, I'm not going to allow those things in my life or my children's lives or my children's children's lives, because the word of God, God said over in Deuteronomy chapter 30, I said before you life and death, you choose life, that you and your children and your children's children might live. So therefore, my decision is to choose life. Your decision, if you want to live, if you want to be healed, if you want to be delivered from abnormalities, you choose life. You choose God's word. See, God has designed this where it's our choice. It's our choice. See, it was Adam's choice to believe God and obey God, but he chose to disobey God. That choice led us into all these terrible things that you see in the earth today. But by us choosing Jesus here and now in this lifetime, we can live above those evil things that are in the earth. See, back in when the children of Israel were wandering around in the wilderness, there were snakes out there. And because of their disobedience, they began to bite them. But God told Moses to put upon a stick, a brazen serpent. That represented Christ and taking all the sin and sickness of the world. And he said when they look upon this brazen serpent, they would live. I admonish you today to look at the word of God, to declare the word of God, and the word of God will manifest what has already been purchased for you. That's the divine health of God, free of sickness and disease, free of abnormality, you see, free from these things. They don't belong to you. Jesus shed his precious blood for you and me. He took 39 stripes upon his back, representing all sickness and disease known to man. And the Bible says, and even those things are to come. You know, they're coming up with all the kinds of names for sicknesses and diseases and abnormalities nowadays. But it doesn't matter. Jesus has already paid the price for it. They can come up with anything they want to come up with, but Jesus already paid the price. And therefore, we can live free of it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. This is such good news, such good news, when we know these foundational things, then we can stand boldly in the face of the enemy and say, no, 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 I have been redeemed. I have been healed. See, Jesus took it. Therefore, I refuse to allow you into my life or into my home. or into my children or into my grandchildren in Jesus' name. We can stand on that word. Stand on that word. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Now let's read on here. Verse 6 of Romans 8. Now the mind of the flesh, which is sense and reason without the Holy Spirit, is death. Death that comprises all the miseries arising from sin. But here and hereafter, both here and hereafter. Let's read that again. Now the mind of the flesh, which is sense and reason. See, we don't want to go there. We want to go according to what God says. Without the Holy Spirit is death. When you go off on your own, that's death. Death that comprises all the miseries arising from sin. See, sicknesses and diseases come as a result of the fall of Adam. Immediately, Adam and Eve died spiritually. And immediately, even in the earth became cursed. And the word says that. All of the groanings, all of the evil storms and so forth, those are evil. They are not from God. So, and see, people will put that on God and say, oh, that was a, you know, nature, you know, God. God didn't do that. He didn't destroy with storms. He doesn't destroy us with sickness and disease. It's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, and so that destruction, that was these storms, the storms that they just got through talking about out in the Atlantic. Hallelujah! We thank God that it didn't come to the Carolinas. We thank God that, you know, like they said it was going to come. But we prayed and rebuked it in the name of Jesus, and it went off. And so and that's what we have to do concerning sickness and disease. It doesn't belong to us either. So then, let's read on. Now the mind of the flesh, which is sense and reason without the Holy Spirit, is death. Death that comprises all the miseries arising from sin, both here and hereafter. But the mind of the Holy Spirit is life and soul peace. See, life that Jesus purchased for us is life and soul peace. I mean, our solar realm, our mind, our will, and our emotion, you see. Soul peace, both now and forever. Hallelujah. See, in this life, in the life to come with Jesus. See, that is because the mind of the flesh with its carnal thoughts and purposes is hostile to God. For it does not submit itself to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. So then, those who are living the life of the flesh, catering to the appetites and impulses of their carnal nature, cannot please or satisfy God or be acceptable to him. But you and I, born again Christians, are not living the life of the flesh. See, we have risen above that. Hallelujah. We're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Our thoughts and our actions are towards God, being led by the Spirit of the living God. But you are not living the life of the flesh, you born again Christians. You are living the life of the Spirit. If the Holy Spirit of God really dwells within you, directs and controls you. See, you have to relinquish your control to the control of the Holy Spirit. Again, that's the reason why I always say in the morning, Father, I submit to the ministry of the Spirit of the living God. I submit this day. I commit this day to you, God, to lead me, to guide me, to help me. Help me. Hallelujah. To lead me, to speak to me, to walk with me. Help me. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But you are not living the life of the flesh. You are living the life of the Spirit, of the Holy Spirit of God. If the Holy Spirit of God really dwells within you, directs and controls you. But if anyone does not possess the Holy Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. He does not belong to Christ. He is not truly a child of God. See, so many people say, well, we are children of God, not unless you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Yes, technically, you know, you were born into the world, but you were with a dead spirit. And unless you submit to Jesus, the sacrifice, receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you do not belong to God. But if Christ lives in you, verse 10, then although your natural body is dead by reason of sin and guilt, the Spirit is alive because of the righteousness that he imputes to you. When you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, God makes us the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. He puts upon our back a cloak of righteousness. We're in right standing with God. The Holy Spirit of the living God is on the inside of us. Therefore, sickness and disease has no right to be in us. The Bible says the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells on the inside of us. And he quickens, he makes alive, hallelujah, our mortal bodies. Glory to God. He restores our mortal bodies. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 If Christ lives in you, then although your natural bodies are dead by reason of sin and guilt, the Spirit is alive because of the righteousness that he imputes to you. And if the Spirit of him who raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, then he who raised up Christ Jesus from the dead will also restore to life your mortal body. There it is. See, if you're attacked with sickness and disease, you need to call on the Spirit of the living God that lives on the inside of you. You need to say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you that the Spirit of the living God that raised Jesus up from the dead dwells on the inside of me, and he quickens and he makes alive my mortal body. He restores my mortal body. And just lay there on your bed or sit in your chair or wherever you are and just say, Father, I thank you that the Spirit of the living God, the very life force of God, is flowing throughout my body, purging out all sickness, purging out all disease, purging out all abnormality in Jesus' name. And just allow the Spirit of God. Oh, as I say that, there's such an anointing flowing over my body. If you'll say that, allow the Spirit of God to purge out all sickness, to purge out all disease, to purge out all abnormalities in Jesus' name. Purge it out and restore and restore and develop and restore your mortal body. Restore every area of your body. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you really understand that, you can allow the Spirit of God. See, the Spirit of God is the creative force of God. How do I know that? Well, over in the beginning, Genesis 1 and 1, and 2, well, it says that in the beginning God created the heavens and earth. But verse 2 says, and the earth was without form and void. And we know God is not a disorganized God. He doesn't like form and things that are not in order. See, there was no order there. And it says that the Spirit of God moved upon the deep. He was there. He was moving upon the deep. But what was he doing? He was waiting on God to say something. And then God began to bring order to the earth and create the earth in the perfect creation. And he said, life be. And the boom, life was. The Spirit of God, the creative force of God. And the same thing today. He is waiting on you to say something. By Jesus Christ, I am healed. He's waiting on you to say, God sent his word and healed me and delivered me from destruction. He's waiting on you to say something. I am healed. I am delivered from sickness and disease. I am delivered from abnormalities. I am delivered. I am delivered. My children are delivered. My children's children are delivered from sickness and disease. My children's children are delivered from abnormalities and infirmities. In the name of Jesus, it's the word of the living God. And the Holy Spirit will go to work on your behalf and on my behalf as we declare these things. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. See, he didn't leave us alone. He gave us the Holy Spirit of the living God, who is our helper, and he helps us. Hallelujah. So then, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh. We are not obligated to our carnal nature to live a life ruled by the standards set up by the dictates of the flesh. For if you live according to the dictates of the flesh, you will surely die. But if through the power of the Holy Spirit you are habitually putting to death, making extinct, this deadly, the evil deeds prompted by the body, you shall really and genuinely live forever. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. That is outstanding, the of God, the glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. 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 We give you praise. We give you honor. We give you glory. Hallelujah. We are at the end. If there are those of you that have joined, want to call in for prayer, or you want to call in to ask a question about something that we have taught today, you are welcome to do that. You're welcome to do that. We give God praise. We give God glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Well, until the next time, you can tune in tomorrow as we look at the power of the believer. And again on Thursday as we return to the healing school, thank you so much for listening. We give God glory for you as we say have a great day. Thank you, Lord. Again, I do want to say this. Receiving Jesus is the first step. The first step. So if you'd like to receive Jesus now, if you don't know him as your Lord and Savior, you can. Just repeat this prayer after me. Dear God, I need a Savior. I need Jesus. Jesus, come into my heart. Be Lord and Savior of my life. I turn from my past and I turn to you. Saving me, I do believe that you are the Son of God and that you died for me that I might have life and was raised from the dead that I might have life and have it more abundantly. In Jesus' name. We give God the glory. So until next time, have a great day.